Welcome to the show, folks. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show, coming to you right now on AM660TheAnswer.com. Because the Tampa Rays are still engaged in a game with the Kansas City Royals in Kansas City this afternoon. Turns out the game last night was rained out, so they rescheduled a doubleheader for today. And lo and behold, the Rays have just tied the score in the top of the ninth, 5-5. They are still batting, and we will keep an eye on that. And certainly we will be letting you know when we go back up on to AM 660 The Answer airwaves. But if you're listening on AM660TheAnswer.com or on your smartphone, smart device, you probably don't listen to us on the airwaves. So you're right where you need to be. You other folks who are tuning in because we normally listen and you know to go here. Well, like I said, we'll let you know when we go back up. Hopefully it won't be too long, but we will be here live until 7 o'clock. I am Christopher Hart, joined in the studio this afternoon by the chairman of the board, Mike McBath.
I'm excited. I know a little bit later we're going to talk about college football.
Yeah. And,
when there's the beginning of college football, there's usually something exciting that occurs. I'm not sure if it's real exciting. But
well, by no coincidence.
It's worth discussion.
Coincidentally, there was news today about the Florida State Seminoles, and we have a Seminole in the studio with us. That, of course, is our Colonel Danny McKnight, General of our American Adversaries Army, Commanding General. Welcome to the show again.
Happy to be here. We'll talk about Florida State, you're right, but I ain't going to talk about that other garbage. Mike's already picking on me.
That's it. That's what it is. All right, so once again, welcome to the show. It is a little bit wet out there. The rains came a little bit early today, but that means it's going to be a nice cool evening, it looks like. I think the rains have pretty much moved through. But if there are any other storms that come up, we'll certainly let you know about those. But we do have a lot to talk about today. There's a lot of stuff in the news. The trade deficit numbers are out. There's a new demand by Iran. And so they have extended the deadline once again, now to the 10th, which would be Friday. Trump keeps dumping on the illegals, and he keeps bumping into polls. So I don't think that he sees any reason why not to continue to do that. South Carolina looks like they are going to pull not only the Confederate flag, but the doggone pole that it was on, too.
I mean, we're carrying a little bit too far. How about the ground underneath
that's
it?
That's what I was thinking. I mean, why not just run up the state flag?
And maybe the building that's closest to.
What do you think about that, Colonel McKnight? I mean, it's sort of ridiculous, isn't it?
I don't understand why they're saying that kid did that because of that flag, because he didn't do that.
No.
And that's what it's all become, you know, because of that. But that flag, it's not a bad symbol. It was a symbol of a battle flag. A battle flag because they fought a war.
Yeah.
Now, whatever the flag was that the blue called the Yankees had, what are we going to do about their flag? Oh, that's right. That became almost the American flag, didn't
it? The Union
Jack,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, Danny, think
ridiculous.
About this. The city of Washington, D.C., right? Who was it named after? George Washington. Now, wait a second. Did George Washington have slaves? Yes, he did. Oh, wait a second. Then if he had slaves, you need to change the name of Washington. I mean, we could go into this cycle on so many
don't
things.
Give him any ideas, because the liberals are.
Actually, yeah, Chris, I would like to see him change the name of Washington. You know, call it anything.
But do you know they have already brought up the fact that military installations are named after Confederate generals, many of them.
Yep.
A guy named Benning.
Yep.
Fort Benning.
Georgia.
Right. Jackson.
Yeah. Fort Jackson.
Fort Jackson. I can go on and on.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do? Change all the names to, you know, wee wee and whoa whoa and I don't know. It's ridiculous what they're doing. Come on, folks, grow up.
It is insanity. And the sad thing about the focus being on the Confederate flag there in South Carolina is what's kind of getting lost in the sauce, and I don't think it's going to go away because I think it's too important what happened, but for now, what's being lost in the sauce was the extraordinary thing the families of those victims did, which was to go into that courtroom and publicly forgive this guy.
Right, and it was nice to see him keep the rebel rousers out of there. In other words, the problem was resolved by the community. How about this? The good people in the community, and they showed us how to resolve something probably the best way we've seen in quite a number of years.
Yeah, so the media was only too happy to focus on the Confederate flag to take attention away from just that right there. Mm-hmm. The president gave a speech yesterday at the Pentagon. We'll be talking about that. Some numbers were released by the Pentagon today having to do with the number of rebels we've trained up over there, and it's disgraceful. It's dismal. There is the news out of Florida State University having to do with their, I guess he was their number one quarterback. We'll get to that here in a second. And then there's this story about Bill Cosby.
Why is it even out? I mean, it was such a nothing story. I can't believe it.
But in essence, what has happened is a judge has released a deposition from 2005 where he pretty much makes a full confession.
He admitted to doing, yeah.
Yeah. And so
what happened? He didn't go to the big house or anything.
No.
Not yet.
No, because he settled with the woman. They compounded it today with the statement by the attorney, because the attorney said in a statement, the reason we settled is because we didn't want it to go to court and have all those other women have to come and testify.
Oh, that's a great statement.
Didn't want to have to embarrass all those other women. I mean, it looks like it's every bit as bad as these women had claimed. And he admitted to getting they were Quaaludes, a powerful sedative. And he would, and I guess they used some other drugs too, but he pretty much admitted everything. And
well, what he could do is maybe move to Colorado and put himself on marijuana and try to forget the whole ordeal.
I think he's going to need a little something stronger than that. He might need some of those Quaaludes if they're still around, too. But, that's a real sad story. And, you know, TV Land has also pulled the Cosby Show. They pulled the Dukes of Hazzard, mm-hmm. but they had already pulled the Cosby Show. And it looks like Cosby Show ain't going to be a coming back, that's for sure.
You know, the other thing which Danny touched on, when we have these violent situations and everything, again, why aren't we pounding away on Hollywood? Oh, that's right. They're big contributors to the Liberal Party, right? I mean, really, think about this. Gun control, everything. I was thinking about it on some other issue today, and you look at these. Everything they produce is just massive violence, be it video games, be it TV, be it movies. And you never see this brought into the argument where it's a much bigger argument than trying to say the gun killed the guy.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What you've fed into our society day in and day out, where people don't feel responsibility or understand the anguish of their participation until they do it.
A gun has never killed anybody.
Right.
It's the person pulling the trigger on the gun.
Yeah, and it's what we've taken out of our society, too, by taking church out of our schools and getting it out of the public place as much as possible. It wasn't you that was saying on the show last week, you know, as NBC was pulling stuff away from Trump, you were saying, who are they to talk?
Oh, I know. I mean,
you know, because somebody has written an article about that.
We were ahead of gun. We've been running strong
again
in the last couple of weeks.
But, we have.
But, I mean, the reality of here's NBC trying to make these accusations against Trump. And I'm still confused on Trump's statement in the sense I'm not. I mean, you know, he made it very clear, not all Mexicans. It's just we certainly have criminals. We certainly have rapists. We certainly have this. And you know what, Don, you're starting to look better and better, at least in my eyes. You identified what, and there was a poll actually today, which was like 57% of all those people polled said, you know what, stop immigration.
Yeah, stop the illegal immigration.
Yeah, illegal immigration. I agree. Close.
Yeah, well, see, one thing that he's bringing to the forefront, and that is that every one of these people who come here, I don't care what their motivation is. I don't care if it's like Jeb Bush says, it's because they love their family. As soon as they step across that border without the proper paperwork, they're a criminal. They have committed the first thing that they have done in the United States is to commit an illegal act. And then they compound it by staying underneath the radar and violating our laws that way. So they are then encouraged to continue the criminal activity.
And you saw the story right after the incident in San Francisco, the person in Laredo, you know, there was another person where they were killed or something from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, imagine how many stories that have not surfaced. I mean, I'm talking about thousands upon thousands of stories that involve either death, rape, whatever.
Robbery. Yeah.
And they're all stopped.
Yeah.
You don't see them.
Yeah. See, immigration is so simple to me, and Linda would vouch for this. I've been saying it for a long time. I love immigrants, legal immigrants.
Right, right.
I dislike immensely illegal immigrants. It is not only a contributor, tremendous contributor to violence in our country, illegal immigration.
Right.
It is a financial disaster for our country because we have to take care of them. I was recently down in Mission, Texas, 5 miles from the border. And the guy that was hosting me, we drove along there, and I saw the big fence, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, that's a pretty big fence. He said, yeah, but it's no problem for them. He said, I watched, sit there. He's a construction business. He said, I sat there one day watching my guys work and looked over there, and I saw two guys and two women. And the women weren't small. He said, I was going to be interested to watch. First guy climbs up to the top. Second guy pushes the first woman up. She's over. Second woman, over. And then he goes over. And I said, and then what happens? He said, well, there's a good chance they got picked up by the Border Patrol.
Right.
I said, and? He said, well, they go process them.
Right.
And then after they process them, I said, you know, I'm being, you know, pretty arrogant about it. I said, oh, get them, take them back and put them on the other side of the border and send them home, which I knew this. No, they take them to the bus station so they can go anywhere they want to in our country as
right.
illegal. They're processed, but they're still illegal.
Right.
But, Chris, isn't it true, like,
that's
85%
I mean.
Of them never come back, you know, for their hearing
right.
or whatever that's right?
Yeah.
They
yeah.
don't return.
Exactly.
They're
yeah.
gone.
That's
well,
what I mean. Why,
Linda's,
why should
Linda's father's mom and dad came from Bornholm, Denmark. Their names are on Ellis Island. They did it the right way.
Yeah.
And they raised 10 kids.
All right, when we come back, we'll see, we'll check on the status of the Rays game. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. If you're out there and you want to be a part of the show, give us a call at 407-774-8255. You are listening to the American Adversaries.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
All right, we just can't wait to get this ball game over so we can get on the air again. We are right now on AM660TheAnswer.com and on your smart devices. We appreciate you having loaded that free app on your phone or laptop or whatever your smart device is. I am Christopher Hart in the studio tonight. With me is the chairman of the board. That, of course, would be Mike McBath. And we also have in the studio with us Colonel Danny McKnight, commanding general of the American Adversaries Army. And we were just talking about this illegal immigration thing. What do you think, though, about what Donald Trump has been doing? You think he's actually getting some traction out there in the polls, even the latest polls. Grand slam, game over. How about that? Wow.
Wow, grand slam.
Yeah, in the bottom of the ninth, the walk-off grand slam. No less.
That's Kansas City, though. They're
yeah, unfortunately, wrong
yeah.
team.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was saying.
Yeah,
I don't know who the pitcher was.
We know the ride for the Rays.
Donald Trump, to me, I mean, he's a brilliant guy. We all know that. And he's a very rich guy. So he pretty well, you know, says whatever he wants to say.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And sometimes I think he goes a little too far. Now, if he really was serious about thinking he could be the president with some of the things he's saying,
right.
it'll never happen.
No.
But he's not wrong. And I would say there's so many things he says, he's absolutely saying the right thing. The problem is he doesn't care about what other people think at all. And sometimes you have to, you know, you don't have to say anything, you know, that make other people happy. But at
right.
the same time, you got to caveat it a little bit better than he does sometimes.
Right, yeah.
But he's a brilliant man. I mean, I don't have a problem with the things he says. It's just how he says them.
Right. He is a little rough around the edges. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, he probably knows he's not going to get the nomination.
Yeah.
But that he can have an impact on the process in the meantime.
You're right.
And that's where I think he definitely is having an impact on the process.
I think he'll also cushion his words more. You know, he realizes that. And we all knew when he gave his speech, he's hyperbola. That's Don Trump. But again, I think he learned, not that he always wants to listen, but I think he learned, too. I better couch my phrases a little bit better than the way I did it.
All right, real quickly, folks, welcome to the show. If you've been listening to the Tampa Rays, unfortunately, they just lost in heartbreaking fashion, a walk-off grand slam. Our condolences. The second game of the doubleheader will be played tonight at 8:10's first pitch. Then the pregame show will start at 7:30. In the meantime, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. We are, of course, now coming to you live on AM 660, The Answer. And we are coming to you from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And don't forget, for the very best in mercury free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. I am Christopher Hart, joined in the studio tonight by the chairman of the board, current, that would be Mike McBath. I started to call you Colonel Mike McBath.
No, I want the general. The colonel is here, but he's general of our forces, American adversary.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
A little bit later, I want to go through the lineup of American adversaries, how we can belong.
Okay. And you are, as of course, being treated tonight to by, let me just start it over again. Colonel Danny McKnight's with us tonight. Thanks a lot for being here, Colonel.
Happy to be here.
And, of course, he is the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army. Okay, we are now fully back up on the air, and we were just talking prior to going back up on the air about the immigration issue and a little bit about Donald Trump. And the impact that he's having on the GOP candidates. If you want to chime in on that or any other of number of things that are in the news today, feel free to call us at 407-774-8255. But I want to go right to Colonel McKnight and partake of your expertise right now. And we'll come back around to the immigration thing. But today the Pentagon announced some pretty significant troop reductions in the army, from 490,000 troops down to 450,000, with a possible another 30,000 reduction. First of all, your reaction.
Well, we've been hearing about that it was going to come because, you know, we really ramped up the military because of 9/11 and everything, and you know, we were fighting in Iraq and then fighting in Afghanistan. So there was a reasonable reduction expected, but we're talking back to pre-World War II times. I mean, that's the numbers they're going to get down to, they say. And so they're not through cutting yet. And the problem with that is you're taking away a lot of very seasoned veterans, and some of them, you know, are sitting in Afghanistan and as captains and majors, and they're being handed their piece of paper to say, oh, by the way, when you finish here and go back home, you have to start out processing to get out of the Army because we don't need you anymore. And well, you get 3 months to do that. And they're doing it. That's wrong, okay? But all we're going to do is we're going to put ourselves in a very, very serious situation of really being able to fight when we need to fight because we're not going to have enough experienced, seasoned soldiers. And that's what we're losing.
And, of course, that's got to be devastating to the morale of the troops, especially who are overseas, and they get these pink slips. Is there any estimate that you can give us as to how much it takes to, say, train up and fully, you know, prepare a captain in the Army? It must be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars at least.
Oh, yeah. Well, if he's a captain, that means he came in the Army. He spent, you know, his 4 years as a lieutenant, and then he becomes a captain. And then he's going to spend 6-7 years at least as a captain. You know, he's about 11-12 years in the Army, and then you're told that you're not needed anymore. Do you have any idea how much it took to get him to that 12-year mark as a captain?
That's what I'm saying.
In terms of education,
right?
In terms of all the training that he did do, and he's overleading soldiers in combat in Afghanistan, and then he's told that, you know, we don't need you anymore. And the cost is, I don't even know that you'd really put a figure on it very well.
Then is it first
really
in,
don't.
First out? You know, in the sense of how they select the individuals that are going to be reduced, or is it just normal attrition? Or
well, the way they're doing it, I think, is wrong, because if you're telling a captain that's got 12 years in that we don't need you anymore, he had 8 more years left, and he could have retired.
Right.
You know, but now he can't do that. So he's got to start a total new career over. And it used to be what you said, that it was sort of like when you get to a certain point, if you're not, you know, check doing the right things, we're going to let you go. And I can understand that. You know, we don't want to keep people around just to keep them around.
Sort of like
we
the government.
We want to keep the best.
Yeah.
But we have the best armed forces in the world. Our Army, our Navy, our Air Force, Marines, the Coast Guard, every one of them, we are the best. But when we start taking people out and say, okay, you've got your 20 years, we don't need you anymore. Oh, they get to retire, but you just took a soldier that don't want to get out and say, you're gone at 20 years. Who's replacing him, somebody with 14 years? Where is that 6 years difference in experience going to matter when you're in combat? And see, that's what's happening. We're taking people out that should not be taken out of the Army.
Why isn't there a bigger outcry from Congress, particularly the Republican side?
Well, I tell you what, you're going to have to think about that through the break, Colonel, and we'll continue this conversation. We've got a lot to talk about with the Colonel today. There's new news, and it's not necessarily good news with the Iran deal, and the Iran is making more demands. And we'll talk about the president's speech. We'll talk about Russia playing chicken with us, and we'll talk about the Chinese and how they are getting in trouble, and we'll be right back.
AM 660.
This is former professional wrestler Roxy Astor. I love to wrestle, especially when it comes to politics. For the best in political professional wrestling, I listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer, WORL. I'd go to the mat with these guys any day.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. We will be live right till 7 o'clock tonight on the airwaves. And, of course, we're always on AM660TheAnswer.com. The Rays are engaged in they have the interim period between a doubleheader. They were rained out last night. They lost a heartbreaker to a walk-off grand slam just moments ago. And now they have the second game of the doubleheader tonight at 8:10. So we will be live on the airwaves until 7, as well tomorrow night and Thursday as well also. I am Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath, and Colonel Danny McKnight, the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army. We are here in the studio live. 407-774-8255 is the number. Prior to the break, we were talking about the troop reductions Pentagon announced today. They announced that the Army will go from 490,000 troops down to 450,000 with another possible 30,000, depending on if the sequestered cuts go into effect, and 17,000 civilians who are going to be eliminated. Now, we could probably spare them. As a matter of fact, I would love to have seen them, say, lay off another 30 or 40,000 civilian employees from the Pentagon and keep those troops, the captains and the, you know, the soldiers.
Yeah, the numbers are going to get uglier, unfortunately. But I have to say that some of those civilians are retired military people, and they have great, great knowledge. That's one of the reasons. That is a blow. It's a blow as well.
Is it?
Okay. It really is. It is a blow because they do have such great experience, and they are there. Their GS-15s and stuff. I mean, their experience and their experience is important. I'm just concerned when we start this takedown that, you know, of the forces like this, and it's going to get so much lower that if we do get in the next situation that's going to come, and it's going to come, we know that, are we going to be ready? Are we going to have enough of the trained warfighters, not just soldiers? There's a difference, you know. A warfighter has been there and done that. If we start taking all that experience away, but saying, you know, you've got your 20 years, we don't need you anymore, and we're going to replace you with somebody that's got 14 to do the job you've been doing, that doesn't work. Because where is the warfighting experience? It's gone. And we struggled with that during the Clinton administration, if you recall, because it was brought way down, way down. I mean, Carter's administration, and thank goodness it was only 4 years, but did the same thing. And I don't know why they don't understand. Experience is something you cannot put in a bottle. It's something the individual has. And when we start taking experienced warfighting soldiers out, we're putting our country in great jeopardy.
Chris, you know something that doesn't make sense, too, when you make this statement is we just finished July 4th weekend, right?
You're right.
And this is the first July 4th since I think I've been on Earth that I was constantly warned, be aware, there's people out there that want to kill you. There's people from foreign governments. Does this make sense? Wait a second. Everybody in the whole United States was warned about a potential ISIS situation, a potential foreign enemy situation, and we're cutting our forces?
Yeah.
Maybe there's something I didn't understand about this weekend.
Yeah, and see, when that
was... Is that a disgrace?
Yeah, and when that was all going on about the 4th of July and everybody be prepared, I said, I told Linda and I told a few other people, that they're not going to strike on July the 4th. Because they know we're expecting it.
Right, heightened state.
What you got to worry about is the day before, the day after, you know?
Right.
And it didn't happen. They're going to pick their time.
Right.
That's what happened on 9/11.
Yeah.
That wasn't associated with anything, was it?
Well, it was associated. It was associated. That date was very important to them.
To them.
Right.
But not to us. See?
Right. So that's where we should be looking. Yeah. Their anniversaries, mm-hmm. not our holidays or our anniversaries. Mm-hmm. And 9/11 was the date that they picked because they had suffered two huge defeats to infidels on that day. And this it was some get back.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about that, because just yesterday the president was at the Pentagon, and he was talking about his latest, I guess you might call it, strategy to fight the Islamic State, which he continues to call ISIL, errantly so. But what did you make of what he said? Was it in, it seemed to me just same old, same old.
And it is, and the same old of nothing
right.
is what it is. But see, isn't it amazing that he would even be talking that we have to develop a strategy now? Now.
Right.
Why weren't we developing a strategy 3 years ago that would have already accomplished something? He has blown this off since it started. And when he changed from saying ISIS to ISIL and talked about the JV team, people have forgotten that stuff. Well, let me remind them, okay? They are not the JV team, folks. And I wish I could say that don't worry about it at home. You better be worrying about it at home, because they are here. They are in our country. They're spread. They're small right now, but they're here. And people need to understand they are not going away quickly. And for him to even stand up there and say, we've now got to work on develop a strategy?
Anyway, what I'm thinking, he might want to recommend cutting the police force, too.
Yeah, he probably will.
Make sure that we have no protection if there's anything I could do about it, and we'll put it into food stamps.
I don't think he'll take them away. He'll just take their guns away.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah. But Chris, ours.
Water really, guns.
When I saw that and when I heard him talking about strategy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think John McCain actually characterized it quite appropriate last night. He was on Hugh Hewitt's show, live interview, and he said, and he may have said this on other shows too, that he thought the president was being delusional. The president talked about how we had regained some territories, even though, of course, we gave up one of the biggest cities in all of Iraq, not to mention that. And he tried to sort of downplay the severity of the situation. But he did then go on to say that it's going to be a generational struggle.
Right.
Does it have to be? I'm going to ask you, as a combat veteran, a man who has some knowledge of the type of enemy this is, because you fought similar people in Mogadishu, does it have to be a generational struggle?
No, it doesn't. When I heard that, it's like, what is he talking about? Why are we calling it a generational thing?
I know, because he wants to flip it into the next group.
He does.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, he's going to say that, you know, I've done my part now. You ain't done anything. Not done anything to facilitate. Look at what's going on in Afghanistan again.
Well, I would say if he's done anything, it's to help the enemy.
Yeah.
He's done a lot by pulling out of Iraq. Now he's going to wind down the troops in Afghanistan.
That's right. And look at what just happened in Afghanistan with the deaths over there.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, that's right.
And the Afghan soldiers are good. They really are.
They're actually warriors.
They're great warriors. Ask Russia.
Yeah.
They figured it out, you know.
Yeah. 10 years ago.
So
they are good soldiers. But the problem is, I don't think their leadership's very good. And, you know, that's what I say is important. If you don't have good leadership, I don't care how good the troops are down on the ground.
Right.
If they don't have good leadership, they're not going to get the job done most of the time. And I think we have great leadership in our military. But we're losing some of that, too.
Right.
We're losing some war fighters.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And... you know, I know we've changed over. Now we got a new chairman coming in, you know, the Marine.
Yes.
Taking over
Marine
General Dempsey.
Yeah.
General Dempsey's an Army guy.
Right.
And I will say this and I mean it, thank God he's gone. Because in my opinion, he has been a yes man to Obama the entire time. When General Keane, and I know you see him on you know, Fox and everything, he's one of the smartest guys I've ever met in my life. And I never worked directly for him, but I got to know him. And when he talks, I listen, because he knows what it means to be a warfighter, and it means you sometimes make that hard right decision.
Right.
And people don't like it, but you make it.
And Dempsey never did that.
Never.
We'll see what this Marine general will do. But, yeah, Keane has been extremely critical of this administration and its handling of the situation there in the Middle East, and rightfully so, because it's been botched from the very beginning. And I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to what the president's doing. And just think of what he means when he says generational problem, generational struggle. That means we're going to give it over to our children.
Right.
Exactly.
But, I mean, Danny, what would you estimate, 40,000 in ISIS, if you had to make a number guess?
You mean the troops?
Yeah.
Total ISIS fighters right now? I would say it's around 30, because we have eliminated some, but they went from that 5,000 when he called them a JV team.
Right.
When he called them, they were about 5,000 or 6,000, you know,
and then
they grew to 10. Okay.
Right.
Then the next thing we knew, there was 30,000 or 35,000, you know.
Right.
And yeah, we took some out, but when you see the Iraqis running, it tells you we ain't making a difference yet, are we?
No, we're not.
Well, I'm comfortable with the 60 guys we're training.
Yeah. What did you think about that? The Pentagon released numbers today saying that so far we have trained up 100 rebels to fight, to go, the good guys in Syria, to go back to fight, you know, Assad's forces and the Islamic State in all of Syria. And we're working on another 60.
With 500 million.
I can't even respond to it, because some things are so stupid. Why would you even respond to it? And that is absolutely the most ludicrous statement that's probably ever been made. Yeah, we've trained up 100. And what is that 100 going to do?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
We're not making progress.
As you say, there is no real strategy.
No.
It's just sort of this patchwork of things. And now the president yesterday also said that our new priority, or it should be our priority, to, quote-unquote, dislodge the, what I'm calling the terrorists, he called them the fighters, from the locals. First of all, how practical is that, even if the locals wanted to get rid of them? But part of the problem is the locals welcomed them. But how practical is that in terms of given the resources that we have there? I mean, it would obviously be extremely difficult, even if there were the finest of American troops there. Is it practical to think that that would happen at all with the resources that are there?
No, it's not. I mean,
It would require door-to-door, you know, incursions.
Yes. And it's a gigantic hollow statement is what I would call that one.
Once again, that's what one reason why McCain said a lot of the things that the president said were delusional. That was one of the things he was talking about. But let's examine that just for a minute, too, because they were talking about that a little bit this morning on one of the news shows, and someone pointed out that part of the problem is the locals that are there now, they don't have a problem with the Islamic State. You know, they're okay with them. And so if that's the truth, then they are the enemy too, are they not?
Yep, that's exactly what they become. If they say that the Islamic State is okay, that means they're supporting them or they're accepting them.
Right.
And that means they become part of the problem.
Right.
I'm not real big on believing that that's really all that true, that all those, you know, people that we're talking about that are welcoming the Islamics, I don't believe that's all that true.
Well, then that reminds me of the movie The Longest Yard. The Longest Yard. The Longest Day.
Yeah, gotcha.
You'll be okay, Chris.
I got these football guys in here. I'm thinking Longest Yard.
Were you out in Colorado recently?
Longest Day. The black and white movie, of course, about D-Day. It's got John Wayne in it. It's even got, who was the guy with, Richard Burton is at the very end of the movie, if you remember. But in that movie, one of my favorite parts of the movie is when we first, well, actually, it's when the Germans goes to the pillbox there, and he looks out and he sees all these ships, and then he calls his superior, "I'm looking at all." But anyways, then they finally start launching the salvos, And they show this French guy, and he's living in his house. It's a two-story house overlooking the ocean. You know the part I'm talking about? And this same German comes by their house every day, and he, like, curses this German, right? And so when they start launching the salvos, now his house is part of the target area, right? These shells being launched by these ships are going off all around him. His house is getting blown up, and he's cheering, he's laughing, he's loving it. He's changing the flag. He's because he understands that even though he may lose his house, he may even lose his life, but his country will be free again.
Yeah.
So don't think that these people wouldn't appreciate us coming in there and liberating them, even if it meant a little bit of pain in the process. Because look at what they're living with day to day, yeah, having their children drug out because the poor kids run off somewhere and want to eat a little something during Ramadan, so they take them out and they crucify them.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, who wouldn't stand a few bombs landing around you just to get rid of them SOBs, right?
I mean, how big a force, Danny, would it take? Could you put 50,000 troops in there and flush them out, or would it take more than that? Now, certainly you got to coordinate it with the Air Force and everything else.
Yeah, but we've taught this quite a while back, probably a year or so ago, and talked about this. And I felt very strongly that, you know, until we put boots on the ground, eyeball to eyeball, we won't solve the problem.
Right.
Using bombs, they kill people, but unfortunately they kill friendly people too. We forget that part. But I think, in all honesty, and now the numbers being a little bigger on the ISIS side and that, I think you would probably need a good division, like the 82nd, 101st, and the support of all the special operations units, Ranger battalions, Delta Force, et cetera. I think you get all of that involved, we could eliminate it. We could eliminate it. And I truly believe that. That could be the finest war ever, because we could get it done before they get any bigger.
Right.
And just because I have spoken with some people just in the past week or so, we've got special operations units right now that are going into Syria. They're going into other places. And they are kicking ass and taking names.
That's great. And I would think so, Danny, but just for the advanced training they get relative to bringing some guy over and they put him through a five-week course.
So we are conducting special ops. In other words, we are having boots on the ground inside Syria itself.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at least they're doing something right.
Yeah.
But they don't have enough of them.
Yeah, but we don't need the people to know that, because Obama might find out. He probably doesn't know.
That's right. He'll hear it.
He's listening to your show.
Newspaper.
Yeah. I know. He would. He'll go, well, you know, I didn't know
somebody
that.
Okay. You know that crazy bunch of guys down there in Orlando? They just tell us. All right. Anyway, bunch of guys is coming back.
They're doing what they do.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back after the break. We'll continue the conversation. We still need to talk about Russia playing chicken with us and a whole lot of other stuff. Don't go away, please. Show, folks. This will be a bit of a short segment because we extended the last one, but we are here. We are live. We are the American Adversaries, coming to you live, as I said, on AM 660. The Answer, 407-774-8255 is the number. We have in the studio with us today the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army, and that, of course, would be Colonel Danny McKnight. And we've been talking about the situation in the Middle East and what we could be doing about it. You just said that you spoke recently during the break. You said you spoke recently with General Odinero, and he is he's getting ready to retire, isn't he?
Yes, they've already named his replacement as the new chief of staff of the Army. Good, solid General Miley, and Ray and I were in war college class together. He's retired as a four-star, retired as a colonel. But anyway.
Sometimes the guys upstairs get a little mixed up.
but we got to speak just for a little bit there. And I kept up with a lot of things he's been doing. He has been really, I think for a while he got too political.
Complacent.
And But boy, he's been very outspoken recently. He's been talking about the damage in reducing the force and cutting the budget and the sequester and all of that stuff. He's been hammering away on that. Nobody's listening. Well, nobody's listening. They're not worried about giving them the money they need. We're gonna have soldiers that are training sitting in their rooms because they don't have money to put fuel in the vehicles. They don't have the money they're giving them needed for ammunition. This sounds just like it was with Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton. I lived through both of them.
Well, and of course,
and this one's worse.
Yeah, but of course, it meant that you went over there to Mogadishu with a force less than what you needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because of the politicians, not because of the military.
And I think just talking to General Nero, Ray said, you know, it's ridiculous and nobody's listening.
Does he intend to be much more outspoken after he retires?
I think he will.
I think there'll be a book coming real soon. Danny's writing the
and hopefully he'll be, you know, on Fox and other networks as well.
Yeah.
Because we do need to hear his voice. So we've been saying similar things here, of course, you know, with you on the show. But after he retires, you know, the door's open, you know, mm-hmm. if he would love to come in and sit in with us. I know one of my nephews, when he was doing a tour of duty in Iraq, had the opportunity to meet the general, and he was very impressed, and as were the rest of the members of his outfit over there. You mentioned earlier, real quick before we go to the break, but Mike asked you how many number of troops that it would take for us to go over there and straighten this situation out, and you mentioned, did you say a brigade?
No, I said a division.
Division. How many is that?
It sort of depends on the division, but if you're talking like 101st or the 82nd, which I say them because they're infantry guys, and that's the reason. Let's say they've got 30,000 ISIS fighters,
right?
Okay, and we'll just use that number. We need to have at least a 3-to-1 ratio,
okay,
fight the fight and win. Now, if we go in there with a 2-to-1, can we still win? Yes, but it's going to be more difficult. It's going to take longer.
And
you go in with
casualties.
About a 3-to-1 ratio of people.
Right.
Now, weapon-wise, we're so sophisticated compared to them, that's going to be an asset. So that 3-to-1 is probably the minimum, I think, that you would need to fight and win and get it done. Not mess around, get it done. And so if you do, you're probably going to need two divisions, and you have your special ops units, you'd be in good shape.
All right, folks, you're in good shape because you got a whole nother hour of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show coming up, and we will be taking you live on the airways right to 7 o'clock. So please stay with us. If you want to join the conversation, just give us a call at 407-774-8255. We'll be right back.
AM 660. Answer WORL Altamont Springs, Orlando. 105.5 W280 CJOV. AM660, The Answer.
Sir. Ladies and gentlemen, step it right up. Let's go see the elephant. Without a road.
Welcome to the show. If you're just now joining us, so we appreciate it. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Of course, we are live every afternoon, Monday through Friday from 5 to 7, and we will take you straight up to 7 o'clock tonight on the airwaves. The Rays are in between a couple of games. They had a doubleheader today because the game last night was rained out. They lost the first one today in dramatic fashion, a walk-off grand slam by the Kansas City Royals. But they'll have a chance to get even tonight, and that first pitch will be at 8:10. And we are coming to you live on AM660 The Answer from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And don't forget, for the very best in mercury free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399 and ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. I am Christopher Hart, joined in the studio by the chairman of the board. That'd be Mike McBath. And we have with us the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army, Colonel Danny McKnight. tonight. And now joining in the studio, also Nostradamus is with us.
It's also known as Private Parts. That's my name here. I'm a big part of the show.
Yes, Private Parts. And then, of course, we have Nicholas Cicero on the bridge. And if you would like to be a part of the show, it's real easy to do. Just pick up the phone and call us at 407-774-8255. Pleasant evening out there this evening. It is cool. A little bit damp and wet in places, though, so be careful if you are out there running down the road. Before we get back to the conversation, I just want to alert you. Our colleague and friend Carl Jackson is going to be on Fox and Friends in the morning at 6:20 a.m., and he's going to be talking about Paula Deen in blackface.
Paula Deen's son was in blackface on a video she did. I don't know the details. I just know the headline.
Okay. Anyways, Carl's point, I guess, is this PC run amok or is this legitimate? But anyway, you can catch his perspective on Fox tomorrow morning at 6:20. Fox and Friends. That's Carl Jackson. All right, let's get back to the conversation. Although that sounds pretty titillating there.
Oh, another good PC story.
Weren't we just talking about, is it George Takei or George Takei the other night?
Yeah. What about George Takei?
He was talking about Justice Thomas being something in blackface. What did he call it?
A clown in blackface.
A clown in blackface, yeah, like reminiscent of the old minstrel shows.
For daring to go against the majority opinion in the same-sex marriage case.
Yeah. All right. Like I said, we have Colonel McKnight in the studio. We'll see if we can get back to those subjects. But we've been talking about the situation in the Middle East using the expertise of Colonel McKnight to help us better understand what we could be doing, what we are not doing. The main thing we don't have is a discernible strategy by this president. And it's long overdue. Colonel?
Isn't it amazing, though, what you just said? We do not have a discernible strategy, and he admitted to that today or yesterday when he said we need one, right? Yeah, admitted to the fact that we don't have a strategy, and this has been going on for more than 30 days. Last time I checked,
oh yeah,
fighting ISIS,
and over a year,
and he basically admitted a failure as a commander in chief to not have a strategy. And it doesn't take years to put a strategy together. He's got smart people. If he'd stay out of their way, he'd probably have one by now.
Well, you just put one together in the last segment of our show. And it's a winning strategy. See, the problem with the president is he has no vision of victory. Does he, Mike?
Well, he's never been in the service. I mean, realistically, the guy just has no clue. And as we've always talked about, too, I like to look as a leader as a real leader, you know, someone that gets society all pumped up, someone who believes in being a perfect example, someone that goes out and cheers our military on. And as you said, even when he got done singing the other night, you know, how did he finish it? You know, God bless America. Oh, he forgot. You know, it seems like he always forgets when it comes to patriotism. This is unacceptable. And thank God we have people like Danny McKnight out there and all these men, because we don't have a man in the White House, I can tell you that. I'm not sure what we got.
And then on top of everything that is already going on in the Middle East is this deal with Iran. And now they have come up with another demand, and it's only because they got all the other things that they were asking for, so they, why not go back for some more, right? I mean, as long as the getting is good, you get it. So now they're demanding that the arms embargo, and once again, this had nothing to do with the nuclear negotiations, nothing to do with the sanctions. This arms embargo had been imposed on them a long time ago so that they wouldn't be able to, well, let's just say that it was supposed to make it harder for them to support terrorists around the world. In other words, they can't buy or sell arms. They want that entirely lifted as part of the package, too. Let's assume for a moment that the administration does what they've been doing so well, and that is to give away the store. What would that mean for the situation in the Middle East should that arms embargo be lifted? Colonel?
Well, the whole thing going on in Iran, to me, is one of the most dangerous things that we can let happen. And we're letting it happen because the president wants Iran to be the leader in that part of the world. He said that.
Yes, he did.
And when he said that, I'm still haven't got over it yet. because why would we want Iran to be the leader in the Mideast over there?
Because Valerie Jarrett wants it.
Well, and also because our president has no idea how important Israel is to us, and this would put Iran more important, in his opinion, than Israel. And we know that our greatest ally over there has been for the longest time is Israel. And he can't stand them, so he wants Iran now to step up and be the leader over there. That's what he wants, see? And all this negotiating and all this John Kerry walking around with
please,
his crutches up. And
yeah, tricycle.
All of that going over there, you
tricycle
know?
Tricycle Kerry.
Iran's going to do what Iran wants to do. If they were to end that negotiation tonight and not say, okay, it didn't work, you think Iran's going to lose in this? They're not going to lose.
No, it's win-win for them.
Exactly. They've already got the nuclear capability.
Yeah.
And we think we're going to stop them from it. See, there is no reasonable person that can say Iran being the leader in that part of the world is a good thing. Because look at their history.
And that includes all of, all of Iran's neighbors agree with you.
Yeah.
None of them.
They
not
don't like
even
us.
The Muslim countries yeah. want Iran to have that much
well,
power.
Well, because it's a racist thing, too, because Iranians are not Arabs. They're Persians. And they're hated by Arabs. Let's go to the phone lines right now. We have Carl on the line. Carl, thank you for calling.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. I'm not a radio caller, but I keep listening to Colonel McKnight. I had to finally call in. Colonel, what you guys did in Mogadishu, your leadership, getting those guys out of there, as many as you did, you had extreme light infantry. You had no support, you just did a great job. I know you had some casualties, but they could have been a lot worse for the breakdown discipline. Your boys were extremely disciplined, and it was very obvious.
Thank you, Carl. Appreciate that.
But I served in Vietnam for a year, for 1.5 tours. And what's going on today, this man is a traitor to me. All the people that I associate with at this point in my life are veterans, and most of them served in Vietnam, and we have very strong feelings about all this. I know when Clinton left office, you mentioned him, he had decimated our military. We were at the weakest point we had been in our history when he left, and George Bush never got credit, but he desperately tried to bring back veterans, and you can confirm this, Colonel McKnight, and try to rebuild our military because he knew what was coming, and when we're vulnerable, we're going to get hit. And it's even worse today with what's been going on. I've never seen our military in such a weakened state. And I spent some time around some special forces guys about 2 months ago. And they're getting out. The morale was terrible. And it's all because of this government we have, this White House, this entire staff. And it's abysmal, and it's shameful. These are the best of the best. I think a lot of the problem, too, is we've got such a small minority of people that any blood in the game, any skin, any flesh, they're even touched by the military. And it's just easy come, easy go. And this country wasn't founded that way, and we're not going to sustain it without that right now.
Carl, what you said was very important because it's something that I was talking about earlier. We're losing a lot of our really seasoned veterans that are warfighters, and a lot of them are leaving willingly because of what you just said. They see the military changing from what it was, you know, before the Obama administration came in, and they don't like that change. And the morale, and that's a big deal, the morale of the military is at a totally different level than it was when President Bush was the president of the United States. You're exactly right with that comment.
Imagine how dangerous that is.
Yeah. I mean, for all of us.
Oh, for all of us.
Oh, it is. We're in such a weakened state, and you talked about the Russians. Yeah, they're playing games, and so are the Chinese, you know, moving subs close to our coast. It's all a cat and mouse, and they see us in a position where they can play those games and they can get away with it.
Yeah, you know, I called it playing chicken, but actually you're more accurate playing cat and mouse, because they're the ones playing the game. We're not doing anything about it. We were going to talk about that, so I'm glad you brought that up. But Carl, Nick has put up here, your first time caller. I appreciate you being out there and listening to the show. And we have a product that a sponsor of ours is called Roxy Pacifics. This stuff is great stuff. It's for your skin, whether you have chronic skin problems or just anytime you get a cut, scratch, or a burn, or a bug bite. This stuff is really great. It's all natural, and we'd like to send you a sample bottle. So if you'll stay on the line and give your information to Nick, we'll get that in the mail to you.
I'd appreciate that. Does it work with a few drops of Agent Orange that was applied to my skin years ago?
Well, what I'd like you to do is try it, because we get new testimonials, and if it works and brings you relief, I want to hear about it.
Carl, it does work with vodka.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Carl, I'm serious. Carl, before you get off, I want to say to you, thank you for your service. Thank you for your what you did in Vietnam, because it set a standard in many ways that I tried to live up to. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Colonel, very much. Thank you, guys.
And God bless you, Carl. We thank you, sir.
And, you know, if this does relieve the symptoms of Agent Orange, Ed Roxy needs to know about that. Colonel, you do, too.
Yeah, would that be something?
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised, though.
Hey, it might.
I wouldn't at all be surprised. Everybody that I know has tried this stuff comes back to me and says, you know, this stuff really works. Let's go. By the way, folks, if you want to find out more about it, you can go to skinfix.us. For Roxy Pacifics, go to skinfix.us. Let's go to Skip now, who's been holding. Skip, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Yes, sir. Love your program.
Well, thank you, sir.
I have a question about our idiots that are running this thing with Iran.
Who would that be?
Yeah, the great pretender. Go ahead, Skip. We're all on the same page here.
Yeah, they've been putting it off. And what are they doing during this time? They're making the nuclear weapons.
Well, we all know that.
See, that's right. That's what I was alluding to, Skip, as well earlier. When we talk about this deal we're trying to strike up with them, Iran could care less, in all honesty, whether we get a deal with them or not. Because what you said is exactly right. They're still going to do what they're doing, and they're going to do it whether we reach a deal with them or not. And I can't wait to be the guy that gets to do the inspections if they get to agree on that.
Oh.
You know? Can you imagine that? I wonder what he's going to be told, what he can see or can't see, you know? You're right on the money, Skip, with your comment.
Maybe they'll bring Hans Blix back.
By the way, that appears to be where we're at in the negotiations now. We've gone from anywhere, anytime inspections down to we have to ask them ahead of time and tell them where we want to inspect them.
Oh, wait, the place is a mess. Give us a couple of days.
Right. Hey, Skip, did you want to follow up on that?
From anywhere, anytime, inspection is down to, we have to ask them.
Oh, we got the delay going. Skip, would you like to follow up?
Hey, I can hear myself on the radio. Look at that. Okay. Thank you, Skip.
All right. All right, well, we appreciate you being out there, Skip. Thanks so much. And if you haven't gotten a bottle of Roxy Pacifics and you'd like to stay on the line, we'd be happy to send you one, too. Okay. All right, and by the way, folks, if you'd like to give us a call, 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget, Carl Jackson, if you're an early riser, even if you're not, it'd be worth getting up at 6:20. Look at that. Would be 12 hours from right now.
Wow.
At 6:20 a.m.
I will see it.
Carl.
I'm up at 5:30. Yeah, I promise you.
I just reset my alarm.
Because I'm not, so you can talk about it on tomorrow night's show.
That's right.
I set my alarm,
I'll try,
baby.
Carl, but
I'll be up and dressed.
Okay. 6:20, Fox and Friends tomorrow morning. Catch Carl Jackson, and he's going to talk about the latest on the Paula Deen thing. And it'll be interesting, I'm very sure, because Carl is always interesting. Don't forget, his show comes to you live every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock right here on AM 660, The Answer. And don't forget to join the American Adversaries Army. We'll talk about this a little bit more before we get out of here. But if you'd like to join the Army, it's real easy to do. Just go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Go to the recruiting office, and you can either sign up right there online, or if you prefer, the address and the cost is right there, and you can do it through the mail. Either way, we would love to have you be a part of the American Adversaries Army. Colonel McKnight is the commanding general, and we're all generals here in the studio. We'd love to have you be a part of the Army and be a part of our task force, where it is our task to force the truth and the light upon the world. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. My name is Mike McBath. I'm here with American Adversaries, and I love the tunes that we are now putting into our show to try to get everybody to think about the different individuals that the tunes apply to. Now, Chris, let's go back to you and talk a little bit about the upcoming subject.
Well, you know, there's a little bit of Crossfire by Stevie Ray Vaughan, and we got the Russians on one side and the Chinese now on the other side. Well, first of all, they're both playing. What did the fellow on the
cat line? And mouse?
Cat and mouse, yeah. With us. First of all, what's the latest on the Russian thing?
You know, I'm interested in your thoughts, Danny, on this. Is like the day they were talking about. You know, there were four of their super jets came across the other day, fighters. And they were atomic weapon oriented, and two of them approached Alaska, two of them approached California. Obviously, we have to scramble our fighter planes up. You know, they push them back aside. But, I mean, what a game. You know, is this a dangerous game? And how would you know whether, how about this, if they really did have weapons on, and they would they possibly be told, hey, if you actually do get through, do something? Because Putin is not the most full of integrity of any guy I think we've ever met or know. And it's a case that you got to be concerned when they perceive us having such a weakling. I mean, I really honestly wonder if they were to hit L.A. and San Francisco, you know, with a nuclear bomb, would Obama surrender? And I mean this. I don't say this kiddingly. But you know what? They're all playing games with us. And as we go evolve into China a little bit later, you know, this is getting very, very ugly. And it's all because of the weakling that they see is sitting in the White House.
Yeah, both of those countries, you're right. They clearly would agree with the words you use that we have a weakling in charge of our country, trying to lead our country.
Pee-wee Herman.
Trying to lead, I said. Okay.
Yeah.
And so they see that, you know, the Chinese and the Russians do. It really does scare me to think that they play in these cat-and-mouse games and sort of testing us. When is it going to happen that the test ain't a test, like
that's
you said,
just
and
horrifying.
It's a real thing?
Or
and are we prepared?
Right.
I don't think we are. I mean, you scramble things, but sooner or later, after they do it 3-4 times, they say, well, don't even worry about it. That's when you better worry about it.
Yeah,
you know?
It reminds me, remember those two movies? They came out like within months, I believe, of each other. Doctor Strangelove, How I Learned to Love the Bomb, and then Failsafe.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
They're basically both movies where sort of a mistake happened, something that wasn't, you know, supposed to happen. A mistake happened because we were at, you know, so close to the edge, the mistake ended up in a nuclear device being dropped, all right? And in the one, it was sort of a black, dark comedy, and that was Dr. Strangelove, of course, and then the other one was, you know, it was a serious movie, and but nonetheless, they both, you know... When we have these weapons and we're playing these games, a small mistake can have huge consequences.
It becomes not a game immediately. As soon as there's a mistake, and that's what Mike said, and that's what I agree, it only takes one little mistake to be a
Ronald
really
Reagan,
big problem.
Too. I mean, and also supposedly, Danny, the Russians have their there's that certain missile that now they can fire below our radar, and you know you don't have much time.
Well,
and,
it's a cruise missile.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, but it's been really
right. They have
developed
been,
where we cannot detect it until it's too late.
In violation of one of the arms treaties that we had signed with them, they have been developing these missiles, and of course the Obama administration hasn't been doing anything about it. So what do you think that they'll do about Iran? Let's just think for a minute that we got a deal and we find them violating the deal. What do you think would happen?
Well, we'll have to rewrite the deal, of course.
Or give them more money.
Yeah, or send it up to the Supreme Court to be reinterpreted, right?
Yeah.
So you actually believe what I said earlier, that Iran doesn't really care what we think, do they?
No.
No, they don't.
They're in a win-win situation as far as they're concerned.
You're exactly right.
And you folks are in a win-win situation, too, because you got the right show on the air, and we will be back for another half hour of the American Adversaries Drive Time.
Hey folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American Adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
Ho!
Now, there's an idea. Send over Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He's beaten the Iron Sheik, so he knows.
Yeah, with that 2x4.
Yeah. Nostradamus here with the American Adversaries on a drive time show for a Tuesday. Don't forget tomorrow morning, 6:20 a.m. Tune in, Fox and Friends. It's worth waking up early because our friend Carl Jackson, our friend and a frickin' American, is going to be talking about the latest mess Paula Deen has gotten herself into. Strange story.
Okay, speaking of messes getting into, we're in a huge mess with this president of ours. There's a couple more things I want to talk about in terms of foreign policy with this president while we have time. First of all, we were talking about cat-and-mouse games. Not only Russia, but China has been playing with us, too, with their submarines. And, of course, they're building these islands over there and declaring them off-limits and basically claiming territory that they never owned before. Colonel McKnight, obviously they think that this president is a weak president. Vladimir Putin has threatened that if we put arms, into the countries, bordering Russia over there, that he is going to consider that an act of war. Do you think that if Russia were to invade another country or two or over there, or even if they were to attack us blatantly, that this president would actually do anything about it?
I think he would be very, very slow to respond, if really responding at all. I just don't think he has the know-how to react to that. And, you talk about Putin, you're talking about somebody that knows how on that side.
Yeah.
I don't think the only way I think we would respond properly is if the president just basically backed away, went and sat in the Oval Office, locked all the doors, and just let it go and let the military take over.
In other words, take himself out of the equation.
Exactly. Now, I really don't think he has the know-how. I don't believe he – well, we know he doesn't have the experience.
Yeah.
Being a community organizer does not prepare you for war very well.
Yeah.
And he has not changed any of that in 7 years now.
No. And, of course, the threat is that they will get antsy – thinking that, the time is right now. The next president, even if it were to be Hillary Clinton, is probably going to be tougher than him, better now than
right.
never.
I mean, then the other thing, they were talking the other day about China, their Air Force. We're about 2 to 3 years away, and they are technologically as efficient as we are, mm-hmm. which is very, very scary. And then I guess they had a conference a few weeks ago where virtually China said, we're going to challenge you in the air and everywhere.
Yeah,
pretty scary when they got the guts to say that.
That's right.
And then we're doing nothing. And if you take a look at how our Air Force has been cut, it's been cut to like a quarter of what it was. I can't believe that.
But you can't say that we haven't been doing nothing when it comes to the Chinese. We've been giving them all this technology that they're using to build the jets.
We've helped them out every way possible. You're right.
But you're right. They have stealth technology now. They are paying attention with the technology that we've given them and what they're finding out with their espionage and their computer hacking.
Right.
They're not just hacking to make our lives difficult. They're hacking because they're looking for information, are they not, Colonel?
Yeah. It's sort of interesting when you think about that situation with a guy named Snowden.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Another great American.
But isn't it interesting, everything that he talked about and all the things that are going on now?
Yeah.
There's a lot of relationship there when you look at those kind of things, right?
So you're saying Edward Snowden is a great American?
No, I don't call him a great American, but I will say he knew what he was talking about. He knew, and he chose to do what he did. That was wrong.
Yeah.
But he knew what he was talking about.
He might get an ESPY if you think about it.
He might.
Or courage.
Well, yeah. If Caitlin's going to get it, he
right.
can be her escort.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So,
here's a thought, though, about all this Chinese American technology that China has. Do you think maybe we might have given it to them with a little thing in the code that makes it break after 10 years? Yeah? No? It's optimistic, but it's a thought.
I doubt we're that smart, least at this administration anyway.
That means the president would have to know? I had a dream on.
Yeah,
it never
happened. Yeah, not going to happen.
Colonel, I wanted to talk a little bit about domestic stuff. We were talking about immigration earlier on in the show, during mm-hmm. the first hour of the show. And, of course, Donald Trump has made this an issue, and he's made it first and foremost in this campaign right now, and as it should have a foremost place in the campaign. But and I want to kind of bring it around to that. But there have been these operations that have been being conducted in Texas and other states where it's gotten a lot of attention. Evidently, the code name has been Jade Helm, and a lot of people are concerned that this is going to be an effort. This is a precursor of an effort by the Obama administration to use the military to, in essence, declare, carry out a war against the citizens of the United States, take our weapons away, martial law, the whole thing. First of all, tell us what you know about Jade Helm, and tell us, is this anything out of the ordinary?
It's not out of the ordinary. It was going on when I was still in the Army. Okay.
Not Jade Helm, but this type of thing.
But this type of thing, exactly. You know, names are unimportant. The same kind of thing. I've seen, you know, DEA training. I've seen ATF training.
Right.
And I've seen it done down in Cocoa Beach, for instance. Okay?
Okay.
So, no, it's not new. And it's not done to make anybody in America feel like they should be threatened by this. They should be happy because the people that are training to protect America. And now they do it with military. Yes. Do you have special operations units that train to do that? Yes, we do. And it goes on. It's a good thing because if we ever need to go in a city, it's a good thing if you've been there before and you know what you want to do and how you have to go about protecting the city. And these men and women that are doing this training are the finest on the face of the earth. Very capable, and they are doing it to be prepared to protect America. They would not, I say this without any doubt in my mind, no doubt at all, they would never harm an American citizen. They're there to protect the American citizens. And I promise you, if Obama was to tell them to go to Atlanta, Georgia, and take it down, they would look at him and say, "You're out of your ever-loving mind. I raised my hand and swore to protect the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic." He would be the domestic enemy, and they would not dare hurt American citizens.
Are you saying, and Dennis has a question too, but just real quickly, are you saying, do you believe that if Obama were to give an order such as that, he might find himself under arrest?
I find he might be fighting a battle by himself. Oh, that's right. He don't know how to do that. But no, they would never follow an order if he was to issue it to go attack an American city.
Now, Colonel, Jade Helm is nothing new, according to you, but have you ever seen operations like this being planned on such a massive grand scale? I mean, they're taking place across 10 southwestern states across most of the course of the summer. Is this bigger than before?
Yeah, it's probably bigger. It's probably bigger.
That shouldn't raise any concern, though.
I think it's bigger because there's more units that can do it now. I'm talking about, you know, I've been out of the Army since 2002, and, you know, 5-6 years before that, those things were being done on a smaller scale. And so all you see now is you have more people capable of doing it, so you have to train. Well, and I think that's the only difference.
Well,
I really do.
Well, not only that, but let's put this together with some of the other things that you have said here tonight. First of all, we've been talking about illegal immigration. You've talked about how ISIS is in the United States. And it would seem to me, if you put those two things together, that ISIS might be better concentrated, especially if they have caches of weapons in the southeast region of the United States. And you combine that with, for instance, the threat level being so high for 4th of July, perhaps are the people in the Pentagon and the military understand exactly what you're saying. They are here. They are here in significant numbers. And that's where they anticipate having to confront them.
Yeah. And you said,
in other words, the fact that it's so large of an operation this time may be because the threat is so large.
Yeah. And see, you said southeast. Did you mean southwest?
Southwest. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Because in southeast, Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, we got it covered.
No, not, you don't need any military.
Don't worry about that.
Just look around the room.
Look at southwest.
The guns.
Yeah. And the south,
go to the gun show.
Southwest and northwest, that part would be a great target.
Sure.
Because if you look at the terrain, you look at the what's made up out there, and there's some of totally unpopulated that people don't even know people would go there.
Right.
That's the reason illegal immigration happens mostly where? Down there in the southwest, doesn't it? Yeah. That's where they come across more than anywhere else. Do you think ISIS can't get over that 18-foot
wall? I mean, Danny,
do
you think it's far-fetched? At least I believe this. I believe if anybody can cross the border wants to get over, you know, without being detected. I don't think that's a problem. Number two, if they were really well organized, you don't think they could have caches there, guns in the ground, various form of weapons. All of a sudden, one day, you know, the whistle goes off. They get into trucks and stuff, head to Phoenix, take out as many people as possible, and then they'll die. But that doesn't matter. They got
and
their
do
objective.
That, I think that's possible.
And do it all over. Sure.
Absolutely. I wish you hadn't said Phoenix. I'm going there in a couple of weeks. But anyway, thanks. But,
thanks for stopping by. I don't think I'll see you again, Danny.
You'll
so
be there to help protect the people of Arizona. You and Sheriff Stern.
But I'm serious about that. Yeah.
Well, but yes, I think that's very possible.
And it could
really
be a coordinated attack.
That's what I'm talking about.
And I think that that's what our military, and that's what the Homeland Security, if they're smart, I believe that's what they anticipate, exactly what Mike just was describing.
I think they are smart enough. They are, and that's the reason some of the training you're talking about goes on.
Right.
Because that's who's going to, sure, FBI is going to react, DEA, ATF, and all that, but they can't do it by themselves. They're not big enough. Okay,
right.
You need more. So that's what they're doing. That special operators trained with the ATF, DEA. I mean, that's normal, mm-hmm. folks. That's not magic. It's normal.
And we must also consider this, that they are contemplating the possibility of having to fight street to street in modern cities elsewhere in the world that would be similar to our cities, at least close enough for training purposes.
Yeah. See, that's the reason I have been saying for years, illegal immigration
right.
is the number one thing that can bring our country down quicker than anything, because it affects the communities, it affects our budget. There are so many things affected by illegal immigration, and what Mike just described is part of that process, illegal immigration.
And we don't know where these people are.
That's right.
We have no idea where they are. The whistle goes off. They know where to go. Yep. One night, they show up, and oh, boy.
Yep. And I'm here to tell you, if they can smuggle drugs and people across the border, it's not much more difficult to smuggle guns across the border.
And, you know, the Iranians can be crossing, Venezuelans can be, all our enemies could be crossing every day.
Sure. Right.
We just sit here blind because we got Bozo the Clown in the White House.
And I hope that the things we've talked about that I'm talking with you about, hope it never happens. I promise you, I hope it never happens, because I've got three very young grandkids. I got two older ones, but the 17-month-old, 4-year-old, and 5-year-old, they're the ones that could be facing exactly what we're talking about, and their future's at stake, and that's unacceptable to me.
No, I agree with you 100%. And boy, can you imagine the outcry of something like that from the public?
Well, rightfully so.
And I don't think it's far-fetched.
If it were to happen, it would be George Bush's fault. We all know that going in.
Yes, President Obama will say, he didn't do anything to stop this.
Right.
No, George Bush didn't, yeah.
All right. Okay, folks, don't let it be your fault for missing the last part of the show. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation, and you can join us as well. But you better call right now. It looks like we only have one more segment to go. Boy, it goes fast. 407-774-8255 is the number. The American Adversaries is the show. AM 660, the answer is the station.
Welcome back. I'm Mike McBath. I have a special question for our guest, Danny. I know, Danny McKnight, who is a Florida State Never Say Die Seminole. I mean, this guy is the ultimate fan of Florida State. And I noticed you guys made the paper again.
Oh, boy.
No, I sound like that guy, Caffeine Joe or Cup of Joe in the morning.
The morning joke.
Oh, I have to tell you, that made me sick this morning. No, they actually talked about the situation with that freshman who was his first term, Danny. And we both know that, which the public should understand this, You know, everybody would want to blame the university or blame the coach.
Hold on a second. Let me kind of give everybody a little fill in on this. The was anticipated being the starting quarterback at some point for the Florida State Seminoles. He was a freshman. DeAndre Johnson has been cut from the team, and he may be expelled from the university. He's been arrested for assaulting a woman in a bar. There's a video out of him. He looks like he's trying to get a drink or something at the bar. The woman's already standing at the bar. She turns to her left to look at him, and she raises her fist to him. So perhaps something is being said. We don't know what's being said. At some point, she begins to kind of hit him. It's a woman hitting him, right? But he hauls off and smacks her. And so he's been suspended.
But what we were talking about earlier before the show began was, every school, when these fellows come in as freshmen, I would say within the first two or three days, they have an indoctrination period. What you do, what is right, what is wrong. And I guarantee you that has been covered many, many times, if not by the school. As we both know, Danny, should have been covered by his upbringing, right? Forget the school. How would you ever even contemplate doing something like that?
Yeah. I mean, when we were talking about it before, see, I don't think this was Florida State's issue. I think this was DeAndre Johnson and his family's issue, because what he did, okay, he should have never hit that woman, okay, that young lady, whatever. If I had ever, when I was growing up, hit a girl, my father, we wouldn't even go over there, okay? Yeah. I would have paid for it, dear, because you don't do that. Yeah. You don't do that. Now, what I saw in the video was this. I saw he's 19. He's in a bar. That's not illegal. He can't drink, but right. There's nothing that says he can't be there.
Right.
Okay.
But he
should
have been there.
There was no drinking associated with what happened.
Right.
She's at the bar. I don't know. She looked like she was actually probably 21.
Yeah,
in all honesty.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure that he maybe didn't pat her on the back, okay, or something like that. I think she took offense to it. I think then she reacted, but she didn't hit him.
It was girly punches. Yeah.
But when he hit her, and I saw that, and I knew he was gone. Yeah. I knew he was gone. And
Jimbo Fisher immediately kicked him off.
Oh, he's gone. Yeah. He'll never play a down at Florida State, and he was 3 years, probably 2 years away from playing anyway. But he was a highly touted guy.
Yeah, he was.
The problem is it didn't happen because he was at Florida State or because he was at Penn State or Alabama or USC. It happened because his mom and dad didn't do something right, because he should have never done that. And we keep blaming colleges and universities and administrations and coaches for this happening, when we should go back to, where did the kid come from?
Yeah.
That's where, because I was raised, Mike was raised, y'all were raised, you don't dare do that.
Plus the other thing, which I didn't like at all, on Cup of Joe, what he tried to do was then reference it across the Penn State's issue with Jerry Sandusky, and he started describing it. He says, well, we see situations like this, and at Penn State it was one little boy. Hey, cup of crack. Get off the air, buddy. You don't even know the story.
He wasn't saying Penn State. He was saying Joe Paterno.
Yeah, which is even worse.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, because Paterno, it is highly disputed that he was as culpable as what the Morning Joke would have us believe.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Morning Joe doesn't do
fact,
homework.
No. The more information comes out, the more it looks like Joe Paterno did what he thought he could do. He turned it over to the administrators. He thought they were taking care of the problem.
Yes.
It was tragic for DeAndre Johnson, because he's probably just blown a lot of money. I'm sure he'll still get some college that'll pick him up. But I tell you what, he has really dramatically impaired his options going forward.
Probably going over to Florida A&M.
Yeah. But you know what? One thing, though, it is interesting on all this recruiting, which we talk about. We took the two Super Bowl teams last year, and they showed the starting lineup for both teams, and then they showed that the average rating of the kid coming out of high school was a 2.7, you know, where the best players are supposed to be a 5-star player. These were 2.7 stars. So who knows how great a player this young man would be, but hopefully he straightens his life out.
Okay, I've got a couple of callers on the line. I'm going to have to ask you to be direct and brief and to the point, because I'm down to just a couple of minutes. Diane, I'll take your call first. Do you have a comment for Danny?
Yes, Colonel McKnight, you are amazing. Thank you so much. It's always an honor.
Thank you, Diane.
I met a couple that just got out of the Air Force, and they said to me that your book was on the commander's suggested reading list, and they both read it.
And it's a great book. It's called Streets of Mogadishu. You can get it at the Colonel's website, DannyMcKnight.com. And it is a fantastic book. I highly recommend it, folks, for especially kids and people who are going into leadership positions, because it's all about leadership and what the hard right decision is all about. Diane, thank you very much. I wish I could give you more time, but
Diane, quick question. Do you have the book, Diane?
Oh, I do. I have several copies.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
All right, Ron, I'll take your call, but once again, please be brief and to the point.
Got it, Chris. Yeah, I'm the first guy that probably ever listened to your show, caught you in the beginning. But anyways, my dad ran a whole bomber factory during World War II, building bombers, and he had a lot of integrity. He wouldn't sacrifice integrity over quantity. So they fired him in Pittsburgh, and then he went to Cincinnati. So I want to give a call out to my dad, Paul. He's long dead, but... and another call out to one of my uncles that got killed on Utah Beach in the first wave. His name was Cadet. But when you guys were talking about Putin, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that Russia, Iran, and Syria, evil plan comes into their minds and their hearts. And it says that they come up against people that aren't prepared, okay? And I know that's Israel in Scripture,
yeah.
But part of it bothers me because I died 18 years ago.
Well,
and when I died, I went to heaven, and the Lord sent me back, and I saw everything that was going to take place. And this country, I'm afraid, will be destroyed. Okay?
Well, Ron, I tell you what, we're going to have you call back so we can talk about this some more. But if you'd like to stay on the line, I'd love to send you some Roxy Pacifics in the meantime. Thank you for your call. Powerful stuff. Nostra Dennis, you got something there, though, don't you?
I do. I'll be brief because we got a minute left. This is a Nostra Dennis health alert. Doctors at the World Health Organization.
Who?
The World Health Organization.
Who?
The World Health Organization.
What?
Thank you. Have identified a new syndrome out there. It is called post-Islamic stress trauma with apologetic White House fatigue. That's PISTAWH, or pissed off. Okay, for those of you who don't know what this is, it's already infected over half the United States. Symptoms include severe scalp pain due to pulling your own hair while watching our leaders pander to Islamic terrorists, uncontrollable heartburn and nausea, usually around 9 o'clock at night during the Rachel Maddow show. He was great in The Karate Kid, wasn't he? And bleeding from the eyes. This is not Ebola. It's your eyes' natural reaction to flipping past a network that insists Al Sharpton is a news host, but Donald Trump is offensive. If you feel you are a pissed-off sufferer, contact your local election board. Place your name on the list for a cure. They're working on a few different cures. The right one should be available by November of 2016.
Ted Cruz is the name. Night, everybody.
You're going to follow Rocky.